I'm Alex Bloomberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
When I was a little girl playing in my father's office, I dreamed of learning how to code. But my dad wasn't a coder. He was a businessman. And I never got to learn how. And it's been something that I've been curious about my whole life. And now, like, this whole world is startup and tech crazy. And I watch all my friends, like, coding around me. And I just want to know how to code, too. Hack Reactor makes coding professionally go from being a dream and something that you just desire to have to really being a legitimate programmer. You could get a job straight away after. Even if you've been curious and you want to improve your skills and you're working in the marketing department and you happen to have to learn how to do HTML and you want to take your steps that much further, you got to check out Hack Reactor. Hack Reactor is the trusted environment, academic level education to go to become the best programmer that you could possibly be. Not only will you get the education, but you'll get the support from them to make sure that you're not alone in the journey. HackReactor.com. Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. I am thrilled to be recording in a temporary Santa Monica studio that I hope is going to be our permanent studio because doesn't it sound excellent? I am so grateful to be back in Los Angeles with innovation, creativity surrounding me every day. The best part about the LA Tech community is the collaboration. And one person that defines collaboration to me is Sean from Hack Reactor. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Esprit. Hello, beautiful people of Los Angeles. I'm so happy to be on the podcast today.
I am so happy to have Sean here. He is just like the most tremendous community supporter. Let's get into your story. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. I'm Sean Drost. I'm one of the co-founders of Hack Reactor. We're a school for software engineers. We'll teach people to code. We get them jobs. We take people from kind of knowing a little bit about code to like really solid professional engineer. And it's a really amazing program. I'm very proud of it. The school is really fun. And it's also like students are always saying, I've never learned this much in this period of time. There's just a million cool stories that happen. It started by myself and some really long-term friends of mine that I met at USC, actually. And what happened is myself and my co-founder, Marcus, taught a third co-founder, Tony, to code. And yeah, we got him all the way from, you know, like we were engineers, we were team leads. I was at OkCupid at the time. Marcus was at Twitter.
Wait, you worked at OkCupid?
I did, yeah.
Whoa.
I did.
There's so much that I want to get into.
There's a lot to get into.
And your friend, your co-founder, you said it was
at Twitter? So we taught Tony to code and helped him get his first job. And then it became immediately clear that like, oh, there's a lot of Tonys out there. Like,
Hold on, backtrack. I'm so excitable. I can't even retain information. Let's start from square one.
Okay.
Where was this?
So this was in San Francisco. We had been friends and roommates all through college, and then we all dispersed into the winds after graduation,
and now
we all came back.
And now you're working at OkCupid, Marcus is working at Twitter,
yeah,
and Tony is like, I want to learn to code.
Tony moved to San Francisco, and we were like, Tony, you should be a software engineer, because this shit is great.
Yeah.
And
especially in San Francisco.
it's so much fun. Yeah. I mean, like, people are often really focused on, like, that being a cool thing to do, but, like, for a lot of people... For myself and Marcus, definitely. The thing about it is that it's just really fun. It's like getting it's like playing with Legos all day. It's like doing puzzles all day. It's like you just mess around with, you tinker and you like, and then you create. So you make these giant towers. You make these like architectures in your mind. You feel like a deity, and then you get crushed.
Yeah.
But then you know, like, it's very, there's like, it's very fun.
Yeah.
It's just a fun thing to do.
Totally.
And so we wanted to share that with Tony and also help him get a job because he had just moved back to America. And we did. We got him all the way to, because we were engineers ourselves.
But you did it as friends.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
So cool.
So we were engineers ourselves. We knew exactly what the interviews looked like. We were doing the interviews. We were hiring people.
Right.
And the crazy thing about software is that it's very not credential oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You usually have a lot of tests.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can just test somebody and see if they know how to code. You can stand in front of a whiteboard with them and be like, can you write me a function that like checks if there's a letter A in the string?
Right.
And they can either do it or they can't do it.
Right.
And you get to see that. So the credential becomes less important.
Yeah.
And that was what allowed Hack Reactor to become a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we became this really exciting place where, like, we got to invite our first class. We just packed it full of all of our friends.
Wait, but at this point, did you already have a vision that you wanted to create Hack Reactor?
Well, when we taught Tony, we didn't. But the thing is, Tony had just moved back to America from Korea. And in Korea, he was running a language immersion school.
Wait, it's like just swap it out for programming.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. Yeah, so we did that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so Marcus and Tony and I and our good friend Doug, this crazy heart of the school with the giant beard, all started a school together. We packed this first class full of our friends and we just taught.
At this point, you were conceiving Hack Reactor.
Well, at this point, we went out and got a lease and like.
Oh, whoa.
And we formed a corporation and like started taking checks and we accepted our first student. I called this guy on the phone who was like a sophomore in college and he really didn't like how his classes were going.
Yeah.
This was the first student that we ever accepted. And I was like, Timmy, you're in the program. We want to accept you. You're the first student we're accepting. He's like, this is great. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And then we started celebrating. And I was like, all right, I'm going to drop out of college then. And then my stomach just dropped out. Yeah. And like, this is when things were starting to get real. You know, like we were becoming very real very quickly.
Yeah.
This was back in 2012, late 2012, our first class was.
But that was San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We opened up in LA like a year and a half ago.
Now, do you still have your space in San Francisco?
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of people over there right now learning to code.
Where are all the physical locations?
So San Francisco, Austin, LA, New York.
And you also have an online.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, if you go online, do you have to go to one of the physical locations too?
No, you don't have to. So it's basically the exact same program. So our campus is online. Our campus is in SF, LA, et cetera. They're really familiar. You go to school. You stay at school all day. It's an immersive program.
Right.
You study with your classmates.
Right.
The online program is not like what you would expect from online education. It's basically just a physical school, but it happens over video conference instead.
Right.
It's got the exact same calendar, the exact same curriculum. You have to be on with your classmates, working with your peers and teachers from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's very different.
It's like a simulated school.
It's just a school.
And
on
is
the internet.
It video or is it live feed?
It's all video. Yeah. So
it's a recorded it's video or is it?
No. The you work with classmates over video conference, and then some of the lectures are video, recorded video, and some of them are live, and some of them are like recorded video with a live Q&A follow up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. This is so cool. And so what, like how many students does LA have? How many students does SF have? First of all, how many people have you graduated?
We have over 3,000 alumni at this point. And these days we graduate about 1,400, 1,500 a year. And so that's about the same number of software engineers that the UC system trains, for instance, like just to give you a sense of scale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over half of them are in San Francisco. We have like it's gigantic in San Francisco. Here in LA, where we have about 25 students in the classroom right now, and then you know similar size in Austin, New York, and online is a little bigger. There's probably like 50, 60 students online.
What's so cool, just on a kind of like a side note, is that LA constantly complains that there's not enough engineers. And so you're really doing a lot for the community by even existing here. Because, I mean, like all these companies are like, we can't find engineers. We can't find engineers. We can't find engineers.
Let me tell you something, Esprit. I love my job because my job is to connect these people who really want to be an engineer and really want to do this work all day and get really excited about it. And they just love it, to connect them with a pathway into tech jobs,
right?
Which, by the way, you know what's happening? You know what's waiting on the other side is a hiring manager who, just for the life of him, cannot hire an engineer. Yeah. And it's like these two sides meeting,
and
we get to sort of like facilitate the
totally.
Pathway for the one side and the solution for the team that really needs more help building this product on the other side. And somehow, like that's my job. I get to do that all day. It's amazing.
I always say this. I think engineering is the new bartending. Like, you could literally go anywhere in the world and have a totally secure, like, financial income if you know how to properly
code. I have some friends that are living that dream right now.
Yeah, it's like, it's a great skill set to have. Like, but there's a difference between really knowing how to do it and just kind of, like, dabbling in something.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people that are like, excited about what code can do for them and then want to make it a part of what they do. And Hack Reactor is a good place to sort of like get your feet wet on that. And we host a lot of meetups with like RailsBridge and the Free Code Camp meetup sometimes and, you know, stuff like that. Where our immersive program really shines is for those people that want to take it from that like dabbler enthusiast level to like, I want to make this my whole thing. I want to like really invest in this skill set, either because I just want nothing more than to be an engineer and build stuff all day and code, or because I'm an entrepreneur and I want to spend a serious chunk of my time getting really great at this because I can then go out and have 10 times the power in what I want to accomplish in the world, or because, you know, of a different reason. But the group that's always come really naturally to us is that group that's already kind of connected to coding and is really close to it. And the group that we have always been sort of like building bridges with and building pathways for is the dabbler, because we want to like create a really successful bridge that carries people from I don't really know very much about code, or if it's something that I want to do or even is an option to me. And we want to create pathways all the way from there to like I'm now a working software engineer at JPL, and it's awesome.
You guys, I'm in the community, so I can't emphasize enough how cool it is to really have a program that's serious about you becoming a professional programmer rather than just someone like kicking dirt.
So my favorite part about the program is this there's this phase in the like latter half of the program where we try and make it like you're working as an engineer, and then you
and you
join up with some other classmates and you just build something from scratch, and there's just like all of these ridiculous
little micro hackathons.
Well, they're not micro, they last like 3 weeks long, and people build really serious stuff. I just met up last week with an alum that I hadn't seen in a couple of years. It was from one of the earlier classes, and he and his classmates built a hedge fund as a student project. They built this thing that could predict when a stock would drop, and then it would tell you to short this thing.
Yeah.
And they built it, and they were like, I don't know if this will work, but maybe it would work. And then it was working, and they started like tweeting out like, this stock's going to drop. Now this stock's going to drop. And they did like seven of those in a row, and then they went and raised a bunch of money. And this happened in real life.
Wait, out of Hack Reactor?
This happened, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, no, this is like a real story. It's like written up in Wired.
No way. And you guys will link to the story too. You'll send me the link.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. No, that's the most ludicrous thing that's happened during the project.
What are some of your other success
stories? Creativity that's like really, there's this version of Cards Against Humanity online that got put up at least 2 years ago, and it's still up today, and like it just kind of has this cult following.
Yeah.
And it's at cfh.io. And you can just go play it right now and go play
Someone in Hack Reactor built that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can just go play it. I mean, not the game itself. The game is open source, so they allow anybody to use their concept in text, card text. It's really cool. The Cards Against Humanity people are amazing. They're such phenomenons. So you can go out and play that right now.
I can't let you get off the episode without sharing what other, outside of Hack Reactor, of course, sharing what other LA Tech resources, a resource that you think has just been like really great in supporting Hack Reactor LA and its growth.
Yeah, so our main hiring partner here in Los Angeles was the director of engineering at this company comes from OpenTable, and OpenTable hired a lot of people in San Francisco.
Right.
This guy, whose name is Dave Arthur, he moved down to LA a while ago and helped start Laurel and Wolf. It's a local tech company, and about a third of their alums are Hack Reactor grads.
So rad.
Sorry, a third of their engineering team is Hack Reactor alums now. And they're a phenomenal company, and they're like driven by wanting to give service to, like these people that are coming into the tech community, even if they don't end up at Laurel and Wolf. Like they came and gave a talk last week about like how to move up in the job search and like how to be successful in that approach. And it was, the same kind of community spirit. I'm visiting Los Angeles. I'm based in San Francisco, but I'm here a lot this month and next month, and I'm spending a lot of time here. And my friends in tech here keep like offering to put me up, like people I know that teach software or that are founders and leaders here. My old buddy Aviv Grill, who used to run Miso Media, and
Aviv Grill,
and just a whole slew of folks. This is such a welcoming place,
It's like, a lot of people say that when I talk to people about what makes the LA tech community different than other tech cities. They're like, we're a very collaborative city. Mm. And I love that answer.
I noticed that just like standing outside of your building today, like people were just like, what's up? Like, let's talk about the weather, you know, like, and that was the feeling that I love that so much about, like, some cities really have that going
on. Yeah. And you guys will include Laurel and Wolf, the link, so you guys can check them out more in the show notes. What's one tech company or talent you come across lately who have really impressed you?
Aviv's co-founder at Miso, his name Ryan, and I watched over his shoulder as he was coding these Snapchat like filters, yeah. Like when we were just like watching his code make us vomit these, I don't remember what, like potatoes or thing. Yeah. It was really cool. And I was like immediately comfortable with this guy because he clearly, like, I feel like I know him immediately because he just immediately wanted to go back to coding. Like,
yeah.
He was like kind of happy to meet, like, you're Aviv's friend. That's kind of cool. And then he was just like wanted to go back to coding.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to Aviv later and hearing about how he had rewritten the, like when the iPhone first launched, this guy had rewritten the fast Fourier transform, which is this like complicated algorithm that, like, you know, it's already built into the phone, and he had rewritten it because it was not fast enough for his liking, and he had rewritten it like having to do it in C instead of the language that normally runs on the platform, and like and you know, just hearing stories of exploits like that from Aviv, and so like I was really impressed by.
Is Ryan even on social? I don't think he's on social.
Have you met him before?
I don't remember. Hmm. We'll include Ryan's information if he's cool with that in the show notes. If not, we'll definitely link to Aviv Grill. Aviv is incredible. He's also in the We Are LA Tech Experience Club. He's awesome. And so we'll definitely link to Aviv. Do we know Aviv's Twitter handle off the top of our head?
No, we do not.
It might be AVIVGRILL, but I'm not sure. Thank you so much for hanging out with the We Are LA Tech podcast.
It's been a pleasure.
Dude, this has been this has been so cool. You're like the grand finale. You guys, like, I've been in here for 8+ hours today.
Let me tell you what a powerhouse this woman is. It's nuts. She doesn't even feel tired. She seems like 1,000%. Well, I guess she hides it well or something. I don't know, but she seems like 1,000% right now.
Well, thank you. I hope so. I want to give you 1,000%. Like, this has been incredible. If you guys want to connect with more extraordinary people in the LA Tech community, remember to go to wearelatech.com/VIP. That's wearelatech.com/VIP. There's about 850 awesome people waiting to collaborate and support you in your success. And then there's also, of course, the We Are LA Tech Experience Club that I was talking about before, where we have these cool, high-level, intimate settings like escape rooms, skydiving. We went on a sunset sail. Like, it's awesome. All LA Tech people, such a cool relationship. It's a way to, like, accelerate high-quality relationship building. Check that out on wearelatech.com/club. I will see you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Always feel free to tweet at We Are LA Tech. I'd love to say hello. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a beautiful day. We'll miss you.
Huge shout out and thank you to Betalist. Betalist is amazing. I've used Betalist for my past startups. Betalist gains you early traction to your startup while it's still in beta. Go to betalist.com/wearelatech. That's betalist.com/wearelatech. Thank you for powering the We Are LA Tech podcast. To get text alerts when new episodes come out, text 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. We Are LA Tech, hosted by Esprit DeVora, has been a WeAreTech.fm production.